What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, folks, so the AFC champion has been crowned. We have our Super Bowl set, and I'll freely admit, I was wrong, but I did tell you guys exactly how the Chiefs win condition would have had to play out, and it followed the exact game plan, because I said it from the outset. I didn't see how the Chiefs could score 24 points without a defensive touchdown. They didn't get a defensive touchdown. They won 23-20. They won the time of possession battle. They won the first down battle. They chewed up clock. And they were on the field for 33 minutes. Like, that was the game plan. They managed to slow down the Bengals just enough to barely creep over the finish line. And I know folks are going to talk about the penalties and they're going to complain about the officiating. That's not what cost the Bengals this game. The Bengals lost this game because Patrick Mahomes managed to will himself through the pain of the ankle and outsmart the Bengals defense, because the fact of the matter is, and I'm bringing my dad on the line here shortly to talk through this, by the end of the game, Patrick Mahomes had two healthy wide receivers, one of them being Marquez Valdez-Scantling, whom Aaron Rodgers could never actually make viable as a top receiver, let alone be the number one receiver to lead the team in receptions to save the day and the season. In four years, Valdez-Scantling, I'm trying to think off the top of my head how many games Valdez-Scantling actually had over 100 yards where it didn't come down to him just catching a bomb just to get over 100 yards receiving. Valdez-Scantling had had six catches for over 120 yards and a touchdown, and basically ran precision routes, which, again, my mind has kind of blown here, because Valdez-Scantling is not a great route runner yet. And, you know, we make fun of Valdez-Scantling all the time. It's like, part of the reason why his route running is so bad is why I nicknamed him Montenegro, Villarreal, Scandinavia, because between all those different places, that's where he could go on a passing route. Mahomes somehow figured out the play calls, and Bieniemy gets the credit for this too, because everyone's going to give the credit to Andy Reid. This is Eric Bieniemy's crown jewel moment, because with a depleted roster, they managed to find the plays to run it through Patrick and have Patrick figure it out which pass routes these receivers could actually run to make themselves, because they did not get separation. Let me be clear. The Chiefs receivers did not have separation. If you want separation, you go look at the plays the Bengals were able to execute and the space that the Bengals actually did get separation on. The Chiefs had to do it with trickery and misdirection to get their guys open. And even then, it still came down to Mahomes manipulating with his eyes to get enough room from the defender to not stick their hand in and deflect the ball. Because that's the crazy part. The only misstep for Mahomes this entire game is the fact that he lost the fumble because he landed on the plant leg and didn't have a good grip on the ball. That was literally the only mistake of the entire game.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was kind of worried. I said, maybe that ankle is finally going to derail him. But he sucked it up. You got to give him credit for that. He sucked it up. Because that definitely was the cause of that fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it. So I thought that, hey, you know, he probably going to go off and he may not come back or... You know.
This was my whole fear this entire game. I wasn't sure where the Chiefs were going to be able to get a running game going. The Chiefs never got a run game going. It never happened. Like, this was strictly all on Mahomes trying to figure out a way of winning this game on his own. Because Kelce was banged up. Kelce did his damage in the first half. And then in the second half, you saw him slow down because the back tightened up on him. That's where it really came down to. At the end of the game, Mahomes was trying to make it work with Pacheco and Valdez-Scantling because Hardman went down. Juju went down with a knee injury. Tony was already out with an ankle injury. So he basically had Sky Moore and Valdez-Scantling and then is working it through all the other tight ends. Yeah, Kelce was out there, but Kelce started becoming more of a decoy than anything else because if you watch that second half, Kelce could not run the deep routes anymore. Like they were doubling and tripling the team, but like he didn't have the explosion to get off the bumps that they were running on him because they started jamming him and then they had the guys over the top, and usually even with that, when Kelce is healthy, he can still do his little wiggle move and still split the defenders. He could not get separation anymore. So that's how you knew Kelce was starting to slow down because of that back. And they basically said, "Yeah, beat us with Valdez-Scantling." And he actually managed to win that game with Valdez-Scantling. I can't believe that actually happened.
No. But this is one Super Bowl, you know, the Chiefs are going to be glad that this is 2 weeks. You know, they need, if this Super Bowl is just next week, I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is one where they absolutely need every single bit of those 2 weeks to get guys as healthy as they can be.
Yeah, it's the walking wounded with them. And starting from the top.
Yeah. But this was my argument this entire week. I thought this was a pretty one-sided affair with the Bengals, because realistically, the Chiefs had this one win condition: control the clock, keep the Bengals off the field, Mahomes can't have any turnovers, and hopefully you get a run game going. Basically, they couldn't get the run game going, so they had to rely on the short passing game and just try to set up screenplays and hope that basically when they did have to throw down the field, that someone could get themselves open. They didn't even get that. It basically came down to Patrick Mahomes having to think his way through some of the coverages he's seeing from the Bengals and just try to look guys off and then come back to them and hope that they ran the route correctly.
When you talk about a gutty win, this is what they're talking about. You know, when they say, you know, this is a real gutty win. Yeah, it's a win like this that they're actually talking about.
But this is why I said the Chiefs were the third best team in the AFC this year, because to me it was clear cut that it was either going to be Buffalo or the Bengals as we were going in through the AFC playoffs. As I'm looking at all these teams, like the teams that actually made the playoffs, to me it was the Bills or the Bengals. The Chiefs basically were outthinking their way through all these games. But if a team executed properly, I didn't see where Kansas City was going to find a way to win the game. Now, in this scenario, it's not as though the Bengals played a horrible game. It's just that the Chiefs executed a very good game plan, and I give Steve Spagnuolo credit where credit is due, because he did blitz Burrow. He did blitz Burrow, but he restrained himself enough with the blitz packages that he didn't go all in with the blitzes and leave himself vulnerable over the top. Because if you realize that the way the Bengals usually bury the Chiefs, like with the big pass plays, you didn't get any 40-plus yard pass plays from the Bengals tonight because of the fact that even when Burrow was able to recognize the blitz pickups, he still didn't have a clean pocket enough to get those deep throws. He had to check it down more than he wanted to.
Yep, he couldn't. Normally, he hits. Oh my god!
Usually, he gets over the top with Chase, but Higgins, like people were concerned about T. Higgins being hurt. Higgins looked fine. Like Burrow had his weapons. And this is why when people talk about who's the best quarterback in the league, it's like, to me, I laugh. Because this is a non-debate, in my opinion, and yet people want to throw the stats at me. Listen, Burrow's great. You love Josh Allen. I'm not as big on Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's right there. But to me, it's clear cut that Mahomes is the best QB in the league, and it's not even close. It's not a close debate. Because because everyone always wants to say that, oh, it was because of Tyreek and he has Kelce. No, it's because of his athletic ability and his ability to think in tight situations that you rarely see the brain cramps that you see with other QBs. Like, yes, he may make mistakes, but the way he thinks about it on the fly, the only other dude that I know in recent memory who thinks in the game in that term is Brady. And as great as Brady is, I always say Brady's the ultimate opportunist, because if you look at Brady athletically, Brady's incredibly limited if you have defensive pressure. Even when you bring pressure on Mahomes, normally, Mahomes can still get around it and still find a way to think outside the box. Tonight, he had to just try to think because he knew he couldn't move. And that was the crux of it. Like, what would Mahomes be able to do when he didn't have his athleticism to benefit him in a go-around? Could he actually find a way to get it done and do it while under duress and pain? Like, that was the question. Because that Cincinnati team did have his number. They can say what they want. That Cincinnati team did have his number.
Well, this is one thing, because Friday, that was the big thing on ESPN. Is Burrow better than Mahomes? If he's, you know.
And Callie, you know full well I do not bother listening to ESPN debate conversation, because I don't like wasting my time.
You know, Greeny and them starts these things to get people to watch. But their logic is that, you know, if Burrow had won this game, it definitely would have to say that he's the better quarterback because he's beaten Mahomes so many times and, you know, whatever, you know. So, I mean, my thing is this. It ain't like in those games that Mahomes played bad and he couldn't score or whatever. You know, I mean, all of those games was over. He scored over 30 points, so it's not like if, you know, when he meets this guy does score so much and he doesn't be able to score. So I didn't buy into that argument. But this one will put it to rest, because this was Mahomes, not healthy, and without his weapons, and he still figured out a way to win this game.
Listen, here's how bad of an here's how much of an indictment this is on basically the entire league. Mahomes gives up his best weapon in Tyreek Hill, the game changer in Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs admittedly take a step back, bring in guys like Juju and Valdes-Scantling that no one really thought could fit, and they really didn't fit well in this team at all. They had to trade for Tony from the Giants because Tony quit on us, and excuse me, but with all that, the Chiefs took a step back. Offensively, they took a step back. There's no denying it. Yet, Mahomes kept them afloat and still kept them successful enough where they're 14-3 regular season. Folks were writing the Chiefs off as if, because remember, the Broncos loaded up. The Raiders loaded up. If you look up and down, the Chargers were loaded up. The AFC West was supposed to be a murderer's row. People didn't think the Chiefs were going to make the playoffs. Yeah. There was talk that the Chiefs might not make the playoffs. Yeah, I wasn't one of those people, but there were people actually saying the Chiefs might not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so, the fact that with everything that went on in the AFC, because the entire AFC loaded up, the NFC we knew was going to be a free-for-all because no one really did anything in the NFC, and it showed because it was the weakest NFC conference in decades. It's actually a role reversal because I compared it to back in the early 90s when you only had the Bills in the AFC, and then it was whoever was going to win between the Niners and the Cowboys in the NFC. That's what this kind of turned into. It's just like whoever made it through, because the tipping point for the Eagles goes back to the A.J. Brown trade. The A.J. Brown trade swung the NFC towards the Eagles because they had even though the NFC East was the strongest division, that's only because of how bad all the other divisions were in the NFC. So to me, it's an indictment on the Eagles. Not that the Eagles aren't a good team, but it is an indictment on the fact that how shallow the competition was in the NFC that allowed for the Eagles to be in place here. Because when you look at, and a simple fact of the matter is, the Eagles' path to the Super Bowl came down to beating a Giants team that you and I both know, as Giants fans, was not very good. They won through coaching and hard work, but man, that team did not have talent. And then today, you're going up against a third string QB with a good San Francisco team. Don't get me wrong, San Francisco, very good defense. And offensively, they know how to position themselves enough to give you enough distractions so they can run their offense and actually move the ball. Purdy gets knocked out the game and within the first 2 minutes, and I already messaged everyone. It's like, I cannot bet on the Eagles, but this game's over. You might as well put all the money on the Eagles. The game had barely started. The game was over. The game was effectively over as soon as Purdy realized he couldn't throw the ball anymore with his elbow, because I knew it was Josh Johnson coming in. Josh Johnson, who got cut by the Giants so they could upgrade with Tyrod Taylor. And Callie, I know you can't see me with the air quotes on the upgrade with Tyrod Taylor, but you know, the game was over. I literally have struggled to think of a team with a weaker road to the Super Bowl than what the Eagles actually had to go through. The Eagles did not face any adversity for basically the entire year. The biggest adversity the Eagles faced was trying to beat a Giants team that benched all their starters so they could clinch the division. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So, to me, it's an interesting Super Bowl because you have a Chiefs team that basically kind of went through a meat grinder of a season, even though they went 14-3. It was a struggle of 14-3. And again, the Chiefs didn't get the same excuses the Vikings got for the close losses that they had. It just was assumed that the Chiefs were going to lose to either to Buffalo or the Bengals. And I give the Chiefs credit because, to me, I didn't see a scenario. Well, I did see the scenario, but realistically, the win condition I described where you control the ball, you don't make any turnovers of consequence that you get punished on, you limit the other team to a couple of turnovers themselves, and then you try to hold a Bengals team with Higgins, Chase, and Boyd to under 27 points. Like, that's a ridiculous request to ask of a defense, yet somehow the Chiefs actually pulled it off. It's a team win. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that Mahomes was actually able to gut through everything that went on today, and the defense, to their credit, even when, because that was the pivotal point, when Mahomes had the fumble, the defense held up and made sure that the Bengals, and again, I credit the defense for this. You know, they could have unraveled after the fumble, because after the fumble, you would think, you know, Cincinnati goes down and scores. It's tied up all going into the fourth quarter. Bengals are going to take this game over. Like, that was the general feeling from the people who were messaging me. It's like, man, the Chiefs gave a hard run of it, but the Bengals are going to take over. And even I had to think about it. And I'm like, yeah, it's a tough ask that the Bengals don't win this game. Because when you look at it, it's like, you're into the fourth quarter. The Bengals tied up. Where is the Chiefs gonna be able to slow down the Bengals? A again, and how are the Chiefs gonna score? Basically, it came down to the defense held up, and I know people are gonna complain about the penalty. But that's a penalty. You can't shove the quarterback out of bounds. He lost track of where he was on the field. That it's just that simple. The mental mistakes at the end of games is what cost the Bengals tonight.
But let me tell you something. In that run that the Patriots had, where they won all those Super Bowls, it's a lot of mental mistakes by other teams.
Yeah.
A couple of those Super Bowls that the Patriots should have lost.
Yeah. But that's why I always say Brady's the ultimate opportunist, because realistically, the mental mistakes just didn't happen with Brady teams. Yeah. It's not as though Brady was the most talented dude. It's like, you know, when they started coming up with the TB12 and this, that, and the other, it's like, yeah, Brady makes some comeback drives, but realistically, it's because Brady minimizes the mistakes that he keeps himself in position that he can make a comeback on you.
Yeah, it's a lot of different things. It's John Fox going for two, you know, all those times in that Super Bowl, and the quarterback messing it up, you know.
God, that Jake DeLome Super Bowl still triggers me that Jake DeLome, as bad as he played, they still had a chance to win that game before John Casey kicks the ball out of bounds. It still triggers me.
Yeah, between him and if John Fox could learn to count, that would have been great. You know, if Matt Ryan doesn't take that, I don't understand how an experienced quarterback don't understand the one thing you can't do is take that sack. You know, that one thing, you can't take that sack. It's got to be the last thing you say. Above all, don't take a sack. And what he does? He stands there with that ball and takes the sack. You know, so it's, yeah, Brady took advantage of every opportunity you gave him. But they always did give him an opportunity. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
That was the reason why he lost to Eli, because Eli pitched a perfect game, and there you go. Well,
yeah, it's in that first game, in that first Super Bowl that they won, the roles were reversed. The Patriots went down the field and scored too quick. I thought that Randy Moss touchdown, I said, hey, we still got some time here, you know. And true enough, the Giants went down, you know, be it the miracle catch and all of that. But that's what the Patriots did, because that game against the Seahawks, you know, it's another game that they should have lost. They went down, they scored too early, and the Seahawks had all that time, but, you know, Pete Carroll outsmarted himself. Yeah. So, it's always like that. You know, sometimes you need a little help from the other team. You know. Because most of those Super Bowls and most games that you don't get help and you win, it's those lopsided games. And you don't want those. You know. So, you know, it is what it is. But I actually did not think, you know, especially after that fumble, that I thought that fumble would have been the turning point, and, you know, it would have been a good effort, but the Chiefs would have come up short. It really surprised me that they cutted it out after that fumble. I thought the fumble would have been the turning point.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it came down to having that, again, the team aspect of the Chiefs and what they've done all year. They find ways of winning these scrappy games. And again, I know folks are going to hear me say this, like, well, how come you couldn't give the Vikings this kind of credit when they won tight games? Because the games that the Vikings won, they managed to luck box their way through, and it's a sloppy game. The Chiefs weren't playing sloppy. They were just trying to figure out a way of problem solving through what the other team's giving them. Like, there's a difference between winning close games. Winning close games against quality competition versus winning close games against teams you'd be smashing are two completely different things. And I always think, like, people always get caught up in box score and not actually at the content of the game itself.
Look, let me tell you something. I don't want nobody tell me anything about, you know, how come you couldn't say that about the fight. Look, to me, if you didn't see what happened to the Vikings coming, you need to actually stop watching football. You know, that Giants game, I always thought the Giants had a great... I'm not going to say that I said, oh, the Giants are going to win this game. But I thought the Giants had a great chance of winning that game. And if it was San Francisco or Philadelphia we was playing, I wouldn't say that. You understand? I wouldn't say that. But I always thought that Vikings team was a fluke. I never thought that I thought all those wins that they got, they were luck. They were just lucky to get those wins. They never convinced me that they were a good team, because as soon as you punch them in the mouth, they folded up. Look at the games that they lost. And that should have happened with that Bills game, but the Bills just figure out ways to let teams back in games. That's all that happened. You know, but that Vikings, you know, I always thought they were phonies. I always thought they were phonies. You know, people, oh, they won all those close games. But they won close games that should not have been close. That's the thing. You needed a field goal to beat that Giants team at home. That should not have been. Talent-wise, you're way ahead of that Giants team. So, you know, what are you telling me about? You had your hands full with Detroit twice, and they should have lost that first game. You know, Detroit just messed up with a couple plays down to the end there. So I don't think you can compare the Vikings and the Chiefs at all. It's you talk about two different kettle of fish there. You know. I actually want to know where the Vikings are going to go next year, because I mean, if that loss against the Giants didn't finally wake them up that we're not really that good. You know, so you know, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting game coming up for the Super Bowl. Philly's already favored, so I already gave it away. But Callie, what do you think the line is for that Philly Kansas City Super Bowl?
Look, let me tell you something. I'm not going to minimize what Philly did. They're a good team. You know, they're a good team. They can win this. You know, they can absolutely win it because they have a good defense, a great offensive line, and, you know, a quarterback that could run. So he's a dual threat, so you got to watch it with him. So, yeah, they can win this. You know, they can also lose it. Yeah, so, like you said, it's an interesting Super Bowl. I got to wait, you know, at least next week. Not this week, next week to figure out my pick. I got to see how Kansas City heals up.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so actually, I missed this during the game. The only reason why Purdy came back into the game, apparently Josh Johnson got a concussion that we didn't know about.
What? I heard that from Larry Hardesty. I didn't realize that is what was happening.
I don't know. So, like, it's like, I know, because I watched that entire game. I'm struggling to think, like, what hit that Josh Johnson took that knocked him out of the game. Like, honestly, it's like, so like, you watch some of the hits Mahomes and Burrow took tonight. Like, they took harder hits than Josh Johnson took that entire game. It is wild, but, basically what Brock Purdy said post-game, he couldn't throw for more than 5 yards.
Yeah,
they're like, but you could see it. It's like that. That's why I said the game was over, because for Purdy to come out of the game, and you know he doesn't want to take himself out of the game. You know, like that injury is significant. It's like they're gonna have to do some MRIs to see like how badly he's hurt, because when you can't throw the ball, that
what he said when he got the hit, it kind of sent like spasms from his elbow all the way down to his wrist.
Yeah, that's usually the UCL.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're gonna run the test. I think tomorrow they said.
Because you usually when you get that, like, because that usually happens in baseball where you get that and you can't throw. Usually they have to do surgery on you. Like, unfortunately, that's usually what it means. When Josh Allen got that earlier in the year, That's why I thought the Bills might have been done outright. Allen came back by just resting it, but it wasn't the same. But, you know, could at least play through it. I'm curious about what Allen does in this offseason, if he actually goes through and gets the surgery done, or if he tries to go the route of just rehab and rest it for a couple of months, because usually you don't want to be messing around with those types of injuries. So we'll see what they come back with Purdy. But yeah, when you get that feeling and you start spasming, that's usually a sign that you're going to have to go under the knife.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he felt the spasms all the way down, and he said after that he couldn't throw the ball more than 5 yards or six maximum. So, you know, I mean, you knew the game was over then.
Yeah.
You know, because they all they could do is hand it off. So, basically.
Listen, I you know, people may say like it's being bitter and sour grapes and all that, but realistically, I can't think of a team that had an easier Super Bowl run with non-competition in a couple of decades than what the Eagles just went through. Because again, the Giants, Eagles are a terrible matchup for them. They're like the Giants' lack of talent, they don't have the personnel to deal with Philly. Now, the 49ers, they do have the personnel, but once they didn't actually have a quarterback to run the offense, I mean, you're basically left to do the Wildcat offense. Like, there's a reason why you need a quarterback in pro football. It's like, no matter how good your offensive line is and how good your running backs are, if the defense knows you're running the ball because you can't throw more than 5 yards, it's a pretty bit, like, it's not a good day in the office. I'll just leave it at that. It's like, there's no amount of trickery. Because, like, Kyle Shanahan tried all these trick plays to, you know, sweeps and this, that, and the other, move the ball around. Realistically, if there's no threat of someone going downfield and catching a ball, you're just wasting your time. So, and I know people are going to say, well, shouldn't the 49ers have looked at the free agency pool to find other quarterbacks in case of... You're already down to your third-string QB. In the NFL, there aren't enough QBs left. Like, that's why the league is struggling so much. We're trying to protect the quarterbacks. Because, like, if you lose a quarterback, like, there's just not that many guys who can do the job.
Why do you think Tyrod Taylor and Trevor Siemian and them are still getting work? Why do you think these guys are still? Have you watched those guys play?
Oh my goodness!
Hoyer, I mean these guys.
Brian Hoyer.
Have you watched these guys play? Why do you think they're getting work? Because they don't. It doesn't have people out there. It you know, that's why teams try to hold on to guys.
I mean, there's a reason why, like, as much as we joke about it, and as old as he is, there's a reason why Chad Henne is still a top 10 backup QB in the league, because, yeah, Chad Henne can barely move. He can't throw down that far down the field, and not like he had a big arm to begin with, but if you know your offense well enough, and you can run a couple of basic plays, you are a top backup QB in the NFL because there's just such lack of roster depth at the position.
I don't know. I'm thinking that's going to start to change a little bit because, you know.
Callie, I know what you're about to say. I know exactly what you're about to say. The fact that they're actually going to bring in talented people to run the quarterback position in college, I know that's what you're trying to imply, Callie. Are you trying to imply that there are too many stiffs at the college football level that coaches keep plugging in because they're easier to control than actually having to come up with a creative playbook? Is that what you're trying to imply?
You know, because what happens... There are so many guys in college that when they come out, and they get an NFL roster that is kind of like deer in the headlights, you know. So, you know, I think it's going to get a little better. But, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, when you look around the NFL, look, here's what happens. You go around the NFL, and you'll be like, who's the backup quarterback here? And who's the test? You might even remember this. You say, wait a minute, that guy's still playing? It's like, you know, if you had asked me, who's San Francisco 10-string quarterback, I might not remember that guy was playing for San, and he ended up playing in the championship game. Didn't play good, but
Well, here's the thing. It's only because they drafted him as Mr. Irrelevant, and then they traded Nate Sudfeld, the prolific Nate Sudfeld, to Minnesota to back up Cousins. Yeah. All right, Kelly, I'll let you go because I know it's getting okay. Late, though, so we'll catch up.
Okay, son.
All right. Take care. Yeah, all take right. It easy.
Talk tomorrow. Okay.
All right, folks. So, yeah, we got the Chiefs going on to the Super Bowl again. I did not see this scenario playing out the way it did. I gave you the scenario of how the Chiefs could win. I didn't think that they would actually be able to execute what essentially is a less than 5% chance of getting all those scenarios to align perfectly to get the win. Because it is a very small margin. Like, the way people were expecting the Chiefs to win the game, I just didn't think was very realistic. Because I just didn't see the Chiefs, unless Kelce and Tony had big games in service separation. I didn't see those other receivers being able to step up and do what they did. Mahomes found a way to make it work. That is a testament to what he can do in the QB position. And I hope people actually look at the film to understand how Mahomes got those guys open. Because, like, this is one of those things where if you start looking at the coach's film and actually start diagramming, it's like, this is one of those fascinating games because, like, the Chiefs ran a couple of different plays that in the first half, it is truly interesting how they set up some of these plays. But you know what? I'm going to give my initial thoughts on the Super Bowl right after this. We'll do a quick break before we close out the show. So stick to it.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
And we are back. So, just to recap, obviously, the Chiefs have advanced. It's a terrible betting night for me because I was on the Bengals side of things in many regards. But just to go through how the lineup construction went for the, because someone won $1 million tonight. So Hustler 23 on DraftKings won $1 million. And the winning lineup was Mahomes at QB at 13% ownership, which lower than I expected. I thought Mahomes was probably going to be closer to 20, given the fact that it's a 2-game slate. I mean, even Purdy got 10%, so I expected Mahomes to be around 20. I think everyone started piling into the Burrow ownership, because Burrow was almost 45% owned. I, you know, again, higher than I expected. I was expecting closer to high 30s. So higher ownership on Burrow, lower ownership on Mahomes. McCaffrey expected, because this was just a tough running back slate. Pacheco, because the Chiefs were able to run, and Pacheco had 5 receptions, which was wild. You know, I really thought McKinnon was going to be in the game more as the better pass blocker. The Chiefs basically just forego the pass protection and just relied on Pacheco, even if he could only get 3-4 yards to carry, just to try to move the pile enough to keep the Bengals honest. So, like, that's really kind of came down to. So Pacheco, even though he only ran for 26, like, it was non-existent rushing. It's like he just ran into the pile. He ran into his own blocker twice. Actually, no, he ran into his own blocker more than twice. But, like, there was one where it was so egregious that Nance and Romo had to make a crack about it on the commentary because it was so bad. But, yeah, Pacheco, no touchdowns. But because of the 5 receptions, that got him to the 13.5 points on DraftKings. And so he's in the winner. T. Higgins, 20 points. Ja'Marr Chase, only 13. That was the correlation difference, because Ja'Marr Chase had twice the ownership of Higgins, and that's where it kind of came down to. And then the shocker was he actually had Kadarius Toney in the winter at 3,700, even though Toney got injured after only one catch, and he didn't make the catch in the end zone, and that's the play he hurt his ankle on and couldn't come back. We got to see if Tony's actually healthy for the Super Bowl, because, again, I told you, somehow Mahomes made MVS the number one wide receiver. I don't see that happening in the Super Bowl with 2 weeks to prepare. But, you know, crazy things have happened. But, yeah, Tony was in the winner, even though he got outscored by no less than... Actually, that was the key. Yeah, he got outscored by Marcus Kemp, but no one would play Marcus Kemp because of the injuries. And technically, he did get outscored by Mecole Hardman. Technically, you could have played Hardman instead. Sky Moore outscored him at 3K. So there were a couple of pathways. This is not the optimal lineup. There were a couple of pathways where, you know, there was a couple of pathways where you could have actually beaten out Tony. But, yeah, the MVS call, I can never get behind this one, this play. Like, MVS, 6 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, because of how bad the other game was, 26.6 points. That is your, MVS was the top score on the fucking slate. Man, I already got a headache. It's like, this was a terrible day for bets and everything else and props. MVS is the top scoring DFS player. I cannot get my head around this. MVS. MVS is the top DFS scorer on the slate. It's like, I knew he was the top scorer, but, like, he cleared it by over 6 points. The next highest is T. Higgins. Oh, my goodness. Oh. This is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Oh, but yeah. MVS, Kelsey, obviously, because Kelsey had the touchdown. And then, yeah, because of the 2 touchdowns, did nothing else. But Miles Sanders got there. Like, I told you, I like Gainwell more than Miles Sanders. Gainwell actually had a good day rushing. It's just that Miles Sanders got those 2 early touchdowns to put himself in the winner, but that was a Miles Sanders game today. And then the Eagles defense, you know, crazy how that is the Millie Maker winning lineup. But yeah, we got a solo Millie Maker winner today. You know, hats off for the lineup. It's like, as I said, I just cannot justify the MVS play, but it worked out. So, you know, you tip your hat, you take your L, and we move on. But in terms of the Super Bowl, we've got a 2-point favored Philadelphia Eagles squad. So Vegas is still unsure about how Mahomes and that ankle's going to hold up over the next 2 weeks after him being sent crashing into the outside by Osai on the Bengals. You know, Osai, like, sobbing on the, at the end of the game of the mistake he made to set up the field goal, because Butker was not going to actually clear the crossbar if that field goal was another 5 yards behind. That 15-yard penalty was huge, because Butker did not get much on that kick that sealed it for the Chiefs. So, yeah, wild how the game played out. But, you know, in terms of the Super Bowl, again, Vegas is giving the early odds favorite to the Eagles. I told you how little competition the Eagles truly faced during the year. But you still got a banged up Mahomes. You got a couple other considerations to explore. I just try to tell folks to be tread carefully with Philly, because I know they've looked good. The defense looked good. The quality of the competition is night and day. They can say what they want. It's night and day of whom Philly has gone up against during the year. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Could Philly pull it off? Without question. But they are nascent to some of the coaching philosophies that they did not come across throughout the course of the year. So we're going to see. We're going to see how it pans out. But, interesting night, to say the least. I'm going to get on out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed the recap of the games today. And onward to the Super Bowl, folks, in 2 weeks. So that's all for now. Have a good one. And until next time, yeah, keep watching sports, because you know I will. All right, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.